And we're holding by the Mishnah on Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We've been talking about the various things that the woman has to do for her husband. Now, we said there were things the husband has to do for his wife, one of them being, we learned back on Daf Mem Zayin Mem Ches, the matter of Oina, that he has to be available to have relations with her and satisfy her at various times. So now our Mishnah is going to talk about details within that. So the Mishnah says, Hamadiras ishta mitash mishamita. If a man makes a neder that not to have kashmish with his wife. Now, you can't say, for example, Rashi says, he wouldn't be able to say that I am forbidding you to have hana from kashmish with me, because that he has a shibud on that. And we said before, and he wouldn't be able to undo that shibud. What he's able to say that would be effective is he could say the other way around. The hana of kashmish with you should be also to me. Now, it's true he has a shibud. On the other hand, the fact is that makes something also to him. You can't force a person to enjoy something which is also to him. So therefore, the result is that such a neder would take effect. We learned, by the way, before, we learned a few blot ago that the Chachamim strengthen. We said that usually a koinam can undo a shibud, but we also said over there, koinam is a form of neder, but we said also that the Chachamim strengthen certain kinds of shibudim, that a koinam should not be effective against them. Tosfos over there learns that it means almost any kind of shibud. The Rashba learns that it means specifically the shibud between husband and wife. Whatever the case, the point is, so only when he gets around that by saying the hana of it should be also to me, then practically speaking, since you can't force him to enjoy something which is also to him, so the result is it becomes also. So how long can this go on before we say that's no good and he has to be, and that's grounds for divorce? Beshama says 2 weeks, Beshillel says 1 week, as we're going to learn in the Gemara why the different opinions. Continues the Mishnah. Hatamidim yotzim l'tamud Torah shaloi b'rushus. Talmidim, meaning who are going to be learning Torah, are allowed to go out, or allowed to leave town to learn Torah, even without permission of their wives. Shloshim yom for up to 30 days, and the wife can't object, even though, of course, that means that during the 30 days she's not getting her own. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Now let's talk about the different amounts of time. And apoyalim, workers, people who are going out of town for work, they can do the same thing without permission. Shabbos achas for 1 week, but not more than that, without permission from their wives. Now let's talk about ha'oina ha'amura ba'Torah. So the Torah tells us there's a concept of oina. What is the amount? So it depends on what kind of job the person is doing. There's actually a Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach that mentions, brings from a Medrash, you have over there when Yaakov sends the present to Esav, and he sends over here, Izim Masayim Siyashim Esrim, he sends 200 female goats and 100 and 20 male goats and so forth, and for each different species, he sends a different proportion of males and females. So Rashi says that relates to this Mishnah over here. The point being, for example, male goats aren't used for work. Therefore, they're available for tashmish, and therefore you need far fewer males than you do for females. The females, once they become pregnant, aren't interested in mating again. The males have nothing better to do. As opposed to, for example, when it comes to you find with cows, when it says that he sent as part of the present, he sent cattle. So there you only have 4 females for each male, because the males, the oxen, are busy working in the fields. So therefore they have less time available for mating and so forth with the various other creatures. So the same, similarly over here in the Mishnah, as people have different kinds of jobs, then they have different frequencies of oina. So hatayolin b'choyim, tayolin, which we're going to see in the Gemara what those are expected to have tashmish every day. Meaning, in other words, they have to be available. Obviously, if the wife doesn't want it every day, then she doesn't have to, but it's more for her benefit than for his, in other words. Ha'poyelim shtayim b'shabbos, regular workers is twice a week. Ha'chamorim achas b'shabbos, donkey drivers, where they go from between the villages and the cities and bring grain to sell, because the people in the cities aren't growing their own food. They depend on the villagers. So those, to put it in modern terms, chamorim would be like short haul truck drivers or like bus drivers or whatever. So achas b'shabbos, for them it's once a week. Hagamalim, camel drivers, which is where they're transporting packages and things, and they come from much further away. So they would be like long haul truckers. So then achas l'shloshim yom, their expected owner is only once every 30 days. Hasaponim and sailors, because they go out into the ocean or into the Mediterranean or whatever, and they're away for a long time. Achas l'shisha chadashim, therefore their owner is once every 6 months. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, so this is what Rabbi Eliezer says. We're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, primarily, when we say Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, we're talking mainly about this, that he says that the Tamei Chachamim can only leave for up to a month. We're going to see in the Gemara that other Tanoim, that there's another Tana that disagrees with him on that. And by the way, all of these are scaled by the number of wives the guy has. We learned this in Yevamos. So for example, here with a sailor, if he has four wives, which we said in the Gemara over there, in fact, is the maximum a person should have, is four, then it would mean that his owner with each one of them is only once every 2 years, because six months times four, and so forth with all the other ones. In fact, the Gemara said for that over there in Yevamos, for that reason, the Chachamim recommended that a man should not marry more than four wives. Of course, because if he's a typical person, for example, the Talmud Chacham that we're going to say in the Gemara over here, or for example, a donkey driver where his owner is only once a week, at least each of his wives will get him once a month.
Even when he's home, he's home for a few days.
Well, the point is that he may be home only for Shabbos, actually. But. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My time at the Bishamai." Why does Bishamai say that he can be as in the first part of the Mishnah when he made a neder about Tashmish, and Bishamai says for up to 2 weeks, fine, but more than that, he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Why 2 weeks? So the answer is Gamri Miyaladis Nekeva, because they learn from the case when a woman gives birth to a girl. Then she's Tomei for 2 weeks and off limits to her husband for 2 weeks. So therefore, so 2 weeks without Tashmish is not so bad. Bishilo Gamri Miyaladis Zachar. Bishilo, meanwhile, is going to be learning from the case where a woman gives birth to a boy, which is Tomei for only a week. By the way, the Gemara is later on going to ask at the bottom of Samach Beis and Aleph, does the din of the Mishnah only apply to, for example, donkey drivers or the ones, what about, for example, a sailor? We said his owner is only once every 6 months. So what's wrong if he makes a neder to not have Tashmish for 1 week or 2 weeks? Anyway, she doesn't have him for months on end. We'll see that later in the Gemara. Anyway, so Bishama and Bishil are learning respectively from Nekeva and Zohar. Well, the question is, Bishil lami nigmaru miyaledis Nekeva. Well, the question is, then what's Basilo Svara? Why don't they learn from a Nekeva? The fact is, there are as many girls born as boys. And the fact is, she's Tomei for 2 weeks at that time. So why should, so Bishama, we understand, is saying we learn from that. Why is Basilo saying only a week? When after all, with a Nekeva, she's going to be off limits for 2 weeks. And the Gemara says, you're right. Imi Yeledis Gamrila. You're right, as a matter of fact. So it's not that they learned it from Yeledis. If they actually learned it from Yeledis, Hachinami, then you're right. They would have to learn from Yeledis the cave, just like Bishamai does. Elo Bishilo Ben Nidya Gamrila. So rather, the answer is that Bishilo learns it from a Nidya. A Nidya is off limits to her husband for a week. Now, nowadays, of course not. Nowadays, the way that we do the halachas is she's off limits for a minimum of 12 days, 5 days of 5 days before she even is able to start counting the 7 days of nidya. But the original din was only that whenever she bleeds, then the end of the seventh day from that, then she goes to the mikveh and that's that. Okay, so then in that case, my kumifti. So then what's the underlying machlokas b'shava b'shilol? Well, mar sova midi d'shriach mi midi d'shriach. B'shilol holds, we should learn something that's more common from something that's more common. He has, it's common enough, unfortunately, that he gets angry at his wife and makes it a neder. It's also common for her to be nidah. She is every month, after all, as opposed to childbirth is less common. Therefore, b'shilol says, better we should learn from that. Umar Sova, whereas Bishama holds, Mididu hu gorim la, mi mididu hu gorim la. Better we should learn something that he caused from something that he caused. In our Mishnah, when he makes this neder, he's causing that now they're not having Tashmish. When she has the baby, he also caused it. Without him, she wouldn't have had a baby. Therefore, Bishama says it's more logical to learn the case of the neder from the case of birth. And in that case, then since she can be off limits to him for up to 2 weeks, then 2 weeks is the maximum we can allow this neder to be in effect. More than that, either he has to be mater neder or he has to divorce her and give her his ksuba.
But didn't answer why.
What's the reasoning? What's the reasoning for the Beis Shammai?
Exactly, that's what we're saying. The Shammai is learning from when a woman gives birth to a girl, she's tamei and off limits to her husband for 2 weeks. Therefore, Bais Shammai says, so if you have a neder to not have tashmish, and that neder has been in effect for up to 2 weeks, fine, that's no different than it would be if she had given birth. So therefore, we can let that slide.
Why does he choose the oledes instead of the
neder? Well, that's what we said. Bais Shammai says that we would rather learn something that he caused from something that he caused. In the case of our mission, he caused the situation by making this neder, by saying the hana of tashmish with you is also to me. In the case of childbirth, he caused it, because without him, she wouldn't have given birth to a baby. So therefore, Bais Shammai is learning that from that. Whereas Bais Hillel says, you learn what's more common from what's more common. It's more common for a nedarim like that to be made when the husband is upset with his wife, and it's more common for her to be nidya, because every month she's nidya. Therefore, Bais Hillel says that's how you learn it.
What's the reasoning behind saying he has to cause something to...
Well, that's the thing. Bais Shammai is taking a view. Let's picture like this. Imagine he made a neder that for one day I won't have tashmish with you. Is that grounds for divorce? No. What about 2 days? What about 3 days? There has to be some cutoff point when we say this is intolerable. Either he's matur neder, or she can take him to Beis Din and demand that he gives her a get and pays her her ksuba. So now, Bais Shammai is saying that cutoff point is 2 weeks. Why 2 weeks? Because up to 2 weeks, she can be also to him for other reasons anyway. Whereas Bais Hillel says 1 week, because there are cases when she can be also to him for up to 1 week. And those cases are common, namely every month when she's nida. So that's the svar. Okay.
So even Bais Hillel holds one week,
right. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav machloikas b'mefarish. Now the whole machloikas is if he specifies how long the neder is going to be in effect. So he says to begin with, I'm making a neder that for the next week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever, hana of tashmish with you is also to me. Avo b'stam, but if he just says the neder open-ended, then divrehako yotzi la'alter v'yitin k'suba. Then Rav says, either way, everybody would agree, Bais Shammai and Bais Hillel, that he has to divorce her right away and give the k'suba, because who knows how long this is going to last. Shmuel says no, even if he made an open-ended neder, she still has to wait the 2 weeks or the 1 week according to Bais Shammai or Bais Hillel, and only then does she have grounds for divorce if he hasn't been matur neder, because during that time Shemi Yimtza Pesach L'Nidrei, after all, during that time the husband might find a Pesach, which is one of the ways that you can be matur neder, as we're going to learn about in Masechta Nedarim, Bez Hashem. He may find grounds, or a chacham may find grounds for him to be matur neder, some factor that he didn't take into account of when he made the neder. So therefore, so just because he made an open-ended neder doesn't mean it's going to last that way.
Why don't they take the examples of Rachel and Leah, and they wanted to have Ona every night?
Again, first of all, they didn't necessarily want to have Ona every night. Where do you get that from? You have some nights, there was ones and some was the others. Yaakov was not Tayolim of our Mishnah. Yaakov Pashtos he was a Talmud Chacham, that's true, but he was also working, tending Lavan's sheep. In fact, he complains to Lavan later that I couldn't even sleep decently at night. So not necessarily, his owner may have only been once a week or once a month or whatever, especially remember he also had, in the end, he had four wives. So remember, we said we have to scale it by that. So no, we can't really learn from Yaakov. Anyway, let's go on. So the Gemara says, Hopligi b'chada zimna. Why do we need this machlokas Rav and Shmuel? Don't we have the same machlokas in connection with another Mishnah later on in Or Masechta, in the next perek? The Tanan, Hamadus Ishlim Lahonis Loi, if a man, it's actually the perek after next, the beginning of the seventh perek. If a man makes a neder that his wife should not be allowed to have hana from him, so then the Mishnah says there, Ad Shloshim Yoim, if it's up to 30 days, Yamid Parnas, then let him arrange a Parnas, let him arrange for a third party. So now he didn't make a hanab, he didn't make any neder about tashmish, because again, tashmish he can't, because he's meshubad to her and he can't answer that to her. But now he made, let's say, for as far as mezonis, Rashi points out, he's able to tell her tzi ma'asya daif b'mezonisayich for the next period of time while this neder is in effect, then you'll keep your ma'asya daif. You'll keep the wool or whatever it is that you spin, and you'll sell it and you'll support yourself instead of me giving you mezonos. But so uh, And so still though, it might be that that's not enough for her to support herself. It needs to be supplemented. So then Yamid, if it's up to 30 days, Yamid Parnas, so fine, he arranges with a third party. He gives that third party money, and that third party in turn goes and buys food for her to supplement what she's making with Maisi Adera. Rashi also brings an explanation that the reason why it works up to a month is it could even be with Tashmish, but let's say he's a camel driver or sailor, where then their owner is less often. But Rashi says that no, because later on the Gemara is going to explain that this is referring to all the different kinds of people. We're not just referring to people whose owner is longer. So no, the Tashmish he's not able to make a neder against, because again, he can't answer it to her because he has a shibur. Mizonis, you can tell her it's see Maisi Adaich from Mizonis Ayah. You keep your Maisi Adaich. But still, up to 1 month, then it doesn't become so well known. So therefore, it's not degrading to her. Beyond a month, the Gemara says over there, it becomes degrading to her. So therefore, so Yotzi Mikan, if this lasts longer than a month, Yotzi V'yitin Ksuba, then he has to divorce her and give her a Ksuba. And you have the same Machlokas, for Omer Rav Loshano Elam of Farish. That's talking about only when to begin with he specifies how long the neder is going to be in effect. So then we can talk about whether it's more than a month or less than a month. Avil b'stam, but if you just said open-ended, yotzi la'alter v'yitin k'suba, then Rab says he right away, it's grounds for divorce and giving her k'suba, because who knows how long it's going to last. Or Shmuel amafil b'stam nami yamdin. And Shmuel says, even if it was stam, she also has to wait. Shemi yimtza pesach l'nidre, because again, he may find a pesach to be matir neder during that time. So we have the exact same machlokas over there about the month, about the 1 month that's available, the window of opportunity of 1 month, the same machlokas that you have here about the 1 or 2 weeks in our Mishnah. So why do they have to argue in both places? The same point is in both. In both places, Rav is saying that if it was an open-ended neder, then right away that's grounds for divorce. In both cases, Shmuel is saying we still have to wait until that amount of time has passed. Shemi yimtza pesach l'nidre, right? So why do they need to repeat the same machlokas twice? And the answer is, Sricha, we need both of them. De'i itma baha, because if we only had it in connection with our Mishnah, you would say, you know why baha ka'amar Rab? You know why Rab says that he has to divorce her right away? Mishum deloy efshav aparnas, because there's no third party that you can have like this. There's a neder preventing tashmish between them. Obviously, you can't get a third party to take over for him. Avabahi, but in that case over there involving Mazonis, the efshav aparnas, where he can arrange with a third party to give her food, ema modulei l'Shmuel. Maybe you would think that he agrees with Shmuel and says that you should wait the 1 month and see what happens. The itmabahi, conversely, if we only had in that case of the parnas, you would say b'hach pama Shmuel. Only there does Shmuel say let her wait it out and see. He may be able to be matur neder. Aval baha, but in our case, if he says that Tashmish is also to me, then that's it. She's not enjoying it. She's not able to enjoy it at all during that time. Ema modulei l'Rav. Maybe you would say that he agrees with Rav and she can take him to Beis Din and demand a get right away. It's tzricha, so therefore we needed both machlokes. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Talmidim yotzim l'Talmud fuller. We said that Talmidim can go to learn Torah out of town even without permission of their wives for up to 30 days. So even though, as the Gemara is going to say, the usual owner is every Friday night, but like this, they're able to leave for up to a month, even without their wife's permission, to go and learn Torah. And as far as workers, we said, even though regular workers, their owners twice a week, they can still decide one time to go out of town and then only come back at the end of a week. So the question is, Bidushus Kamel. Now the Mishnah is talking about if they don't have permission from their wife, what if they do have permission? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kama deboi, however much they want. What's the question? However much he arranges with his wife? No, so the Gemara asks, the question is, urcha de milsa kama. What's the normal way? What's the derech eretzik way of doing it? Like this, even let's say he manages to convince her that he can go away for longer. But what's the decent amount that he shouldn't try to convince her for more than that? So Omer Rav, Chodesh kan b'chodesh b'bayis. He can arrange with her, and this is not considered. Then he won't be shalo yisa olav chet. It won't be considered that he's acting wrongly towards her. Is to be a month here and a month here in the Beis Medrash, and a month at home. So switching off and on. 1 month he'll be in the Beis Medrash. The next month he'll be back home, and repeating like that over time. Tosfos, by the way, points out, now later on in the sugya, we're going to have various Amiroyim who went away to learn for many years. Most famously, we're going to have Rabbi Akiva, went away for 12 years, and then another 12 years. We're going to have several other Chachamim that went away for 12 years. We'll talk about why Dafka, they used to say 12 years, but in any case, so that's a lot longer than a month.
Okay, traveled almost a year.
There's the case of Rav Idi, who used to travel half a year to get to the... Right. So Tosfos answers that in those cases, just the opposite. The women wanted, that they were happy that their husbands should be going and learning Torah. With Rabbi Akiva, we know that Rochel was pushing him to do that. And when he came back, as we're going to have in the Gemara, we'll have the story tomorrow, Best Hashem, that she was saying, I'd be happy if he goes away for another 12 years. So that doesn't apply. However, Tosfos then goes on to say that maybe the Urcha de Milsa that we're asking over here in the Gemara is not about the Talmid Chachamim, but rather about the workers. Maybe the question is, the workers, we're saying, can go away for up to a week without Rishus, and Rav is saying with Rishus, still they should try to not stay away more than a month. As far as the question originally, the Tosfos Arosh says also that it's different with Rabbi Akiva and the other Chachamim we're going to talk about later. Their terosanum nosan, their full-time occupation was learning Torah. These kinds of rules don't apply to them. Anyway, continues the Gemara. So where do we get 1 month here, 1 month there? Shenema, we have in Divrei Yomim, it describes a system, a rotation that David HaMelech had set up. Every month there was going to be a group of people in Eretz Yisrael who are responsible for providing food and other necessities for the palace. And the pasuk says, "L'chol dvar hamachlokos," as far as all the matter of the divisions, haba'a v'hayotzis, the incoming and the outgoing, chodesh b'chodesh, month by month, l'chol chod she'ashana, for all the months of the year. Now Rashi explains like this: if you look at the pesukim over there, you'll see that it describes that there were 12 divisions. There was one for Nisan, the next one for Iyar, and so forth. Each month, then that division would be responsible. They're the ones that are responsible to bring food and other things for the king's table and straw for the horses and so on and so forth. So in context over there, in other words, each one is working for the king for only 1 month and the other 11 months they're back home. Still, Rashi says, the way the Pasuk phrases it, habav hayotzis chodesh b'chodesh, implies Rav learns from it that apparently there was a second group that would switch off 1 month on and 1 month off. They would be working for the king, but then you would have one group that would be working in the even numbered months for the king and be home for the odd numbered months, and another group that would be the other way around. So therefore, Rav is basing himself on that to say the same thing with the Talmid Chachamim, or according to one answer in Tosfos, by the workers, that they can switch off and be home for the odd numbered months and away for the even numbered months, or vice versa.
The managers,
yeah. So that works. Rabbi Yochanan says that's not good enough. It has to be 1 month away and then 2 months at home. Shenema, as you have, which describes the workers that Shlomo had building the first base of Mikdash, chodesh yuba levanin, they would spend a month in levanin cutting trees, shnayim chodeshim bevesa, and then 2 months at home. So therefore, so you see, it has to be like that. Well, the question is, v'rav nami my time le omamayaki. So why doesn't Rav learn like Rabbi Yochanan and derive from that? And the answer is shiny base of Mikdash to efshai de achayim. The difference is when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it could be done by other people because, in other words, you had enough workers over there that Shlomo was able to arrange them in shifts where each one is only going to have to work for a month at a time. That doesn't necessarily show. Here we're talking about one individual person. He needs to go out of town to learn. He needs to go out of town to work. He can't get a substitute, so therefore it can't be that he should have to spend 2 months at home. Therefore, Rav says that it's going to be 1 month on, 1 month off. What about Rav Yochanan, my time, like Omamahi? What about why didn't Rav Yochanan learn from Rav's case? And the answer is, he would say, shiny hosam, the islay harvocha. The difference is over there that they're working directly for the king. They're making a lot of money out of it. So therefore, you could say a case like that, where they're making a huge amount of money by working for the king and eating at the king's table and so forth. So then therefore, it's okay to be away for a month and then be back for only 1 month. And the wife is going to be satisfied with that. But normally, you don't have that kind of like this. Rashi explains, she herself gets a lot out of it. She gets there's more generous food on their table. She has more cosmetics and so forth, as opposed to a Talmid Chacham. Yeah, as opposed to a Talmid Chacham is when he's going out of town, the fact is he's having his mitzvah of learning Torah. She's not benefiting as directly from it. It's more of an indirect benefit. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you can't allow him to be away for you can't allow him to be home for only 1 month. He has to be home for 2 months after the 1 month thing. Okay. Since we mentioned a machloikus between Rab and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the explanation of a pasuk, so now the Gemara is going to bring a different matter, a different pasuk, where we also find a different thing where Rabbi Yochanan, where Rab and Rabbi Yochanan learn from different psukim about something in life. Omer Rav, anocha sheveres chatzi gufei shel adam. A krecht, a sigh, breaks half of a person's body. Shenemar, as we find, Hashem says to Yechezkel, talking about the churban that's going to be coming soon, ba'ata ben adam he'onach, Hashem tells him, you ben adam, which is Hashem's name for Yechezkel throughout the Sefer, he'onach, a groan or sigh, b'shivrin masnayim, with a breaking of loins. Loins is the waist, basically. So, in other words, feel like your loins are going to break, over mirirus, and with bitterness, te'onach, you should moan. So therefore, about the disaster that's going to be coming soon of the Churban and the Golos if the Jewish people don't do tshuva. So therefore, so we see, since it associates it with the masnayim, the loins, then it means it breaks half a person's body. Breaks half of the koyach of a person's body, that is. There's an earlier version of Rashi Ksavyad, which is brought in Shittim Kobetzes, that clarifies and literally means it breaks the body, it means it breaks the koyach of the body. That's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan af kogu for shalom. Rabbi Yochanan says it breaks the entire power of a person's body. Shenema, the next passage continues. The people are going to ask you, Yechezkel, what are you moaning for? What are you groaning for? And you should tell them, El Shmua Kiva, about the news which is soon going to come, the Nomes Kolev, and when that news comes, all hearts are going to melt, the Rofu Kol Yodayim, all hands are going to be weak and slackened, the Chiyaso Kol Ruach, every breath is going to be shortened, like people are going to be gasping like that. And all knees will be like going like water, meaning they'll be trembling like the way that water is constantly moving. So in other words, so we see it's mentioning different things from the entire body. So we see therefore that the groaning affects a person's entire body, says Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan nami hoksib b'shivin masnayim. So what is Rabbi Yochanan do? These are actually back-to-back psukim there in Yechezkel. So what is Rabbi Yochanan doing with Rab's pasuk that mentions the loins? And the answer is, hahi deki maschala m'masnayim maschala. He's saying when the effect begins, it begins at the loins, but then it continues to the rest of the body. Okay, v'rav nami hoksib v'nomis kolev v'rofu chol yudayim v'chiyas hakol ruach. What is Rab doing with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? And the answer is shiny shmur de Beis Hamikdash. It's different when we're talking about the news that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, de takifa tuba. That is much stronger and much worse than any other kind of bad news that a person might receive. Yes, that might break a person's whole body, but regular kind of more run-of-the-mill bad news, that kind of thing breaks only half of a person's body, Rav says. Tosfos points out, I mean, aren't both psukim talking about the same context? They're both talking about the Beis Hamikdash. So how is Rav saying that there's a difference between the Beis Hamikdash and anything else? So Tosfos says, because the fact is we're talking before the Churban. He's saying that Hashem is telling him to moan and groan in the presence of the Jewish people in advance, that there's going to be this news coming. And when the news of the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed comes, then v'nomis kolei v'rofu kol yadayim. But up to that point, he should just be treating it like the regular kind of thing, says Rav, that which only breaks half the body, not the entire body. So the Gemara tells in this connection, there were once a Jew and a goy who were walking together on the road. The goy was not able to keep up with the Jew. The Jew was walking too fast. So the goy mentioned to the Jew, the churban, in order to slow him down. Like this, the yid would get sad over it and slow down. Nogid the itnach. So the yid, indeed, thinking about the Beis Hamikdash, gave a krecht and a sigh. You see, by the way, the level that the yidden were on in those days. Nowadays, we might talk about the churban Beis Hamikdash and we don't bat an eye. Here, this yid was still very much deeply affected by it. And still, even then, the goy couldn't keep up with the Jew. The Jew slowed down, but still, he was going too fast. So the goy says, "Lav amritu anocha sheveres chatzi gufei shel adam." Don't you Jews say? He knew of what Rav said.
Learned goy.
Yeah, he knew of what Rav had said, that a sigh breaks half of a person's body strength. So the yid tells him, "Hani mili milsechadti." That applies only to new news. So when a person receives new bad news, then it breaks him. But this mikdash being destroyed, the shonan ba, unfortunately, we're already used to it. Loy, then no, it doesn't affect us as much. the Amri Inchi, as people say, the Malfi Tichlu Lebasa, a woman who's used to miscarrying children, she doesn't feel bad when another one passes away, Rahman al Tzlan, because like she's used to it already. So the same way, in other words, we're already used to this, and therefore you mentioning the Churban, it has an effect, but not as much as you think it would. Apparently, by the way, Maharsha says, apparently this Goy knew of what Rav had said. He didn't know of the next part of the Gemara, that the Beis Hamikdash is different. Otherwise, he would have asked, why not? Why didn't break your whole body? So obviously, he may have been a learned Goy, but not that learned. Okay.
But he had an answer for the first half, the answer to the second half.
Well, so that's the answer. The answer is, in other words, that...
Because it didn't happen, that's old news.
Right.
That's the answer for the second part also.
Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tayolim b'choyim. We said Tayolim, their owner with their wife is every day. So my Tayolim, what does the word Tayolim mean? Omer Rav b'nei Pirki. Omer Rava b'nei Pirki. It means the Talmid Chachamim who learn in town. Pirki is a Pirka is the name of a type of drosha they had in those days where the Rebbe is teaching them a perek every day. So therefore, they go to the Beis Medrash during the day and they come home at night. They're the Tayolim that our Mishnah is talking about. So since they come home every night, then they're owner. And Perika doesn't necessarily mean a whole Perik like Gemara or whatever. It means a portion of a certain fixed amount. Yeah. So a regular daily shiur. Omale Abaya, but Abaya says, how could that be? Man b'chtibuhu, consider there's a pasuk in Tehillim that talks about such tamen chachamim and says shav lachem mashkimei kum, how empty it is for you, the people who get up early to go to their jobs, ma'achrei shevas, and stay late, sitting late at their jobs, oichle lechem hatzavim, who eat their bread, who have their food with discomfort because they're having to work hard for it. Kein yitim legidei shena. That's the kind of so Hashem gives just as much and gives just as much. Lidida Shena to those, literally, Lidida means to his friend, and Shena means sleep. But the Gemara is Darshanin would Lidida Meloshin Minaded, people who hold back sleep from their eyes, namely Tamar Chachamim, who stay up late learning Torah. So, in other words, the Pasuk is saying you're working so hard for Parnosa, and all you're making Parnosa, but you're putting in tremendous effort and having a lot of Agmas Nefesh having it. Why don't you instead go learn Torah and stay up learning Torah by night, and Hashem will provide for you in the same way. So the Pasuk is praising the wives of the Talmid Chachamim. They hold back sleep from their eyes in this world, because they're waiting up for their husband. They're waiting for their husbands to come home from the Beis Medrash. Or boys, l'chayy olam haba, and the result of that is they earn their place in olam haba. That's the famous Gemara in Brachas that says noshim b'mai zochion. How do women earn schus of Talmud Torah, given that they don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And one way is because they wait for their husbands till their husbands come home from the Beis Medrash. This is the basis of why we have in the Mishnah Berach for a girl. We also say l'torah or l'chupa or ma'isim tovim if it's brought in hayyem yem, because women have that schus of Torah as well. Helping her husband, and sending her kids to cheder and so forth. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos says, we're obviously talking about Talmidim who are learning in town, because otherwise, if they're learning out of town, there's no reason for the wives to wait up for them. And we're saying they're waiting up, meaning that at nighttime, they're not at home, they're in the Beis Medrash still, learning late. So, va'at amit b'nei pirki, so how could you possibly say that such people should have oina every night? How are they going to have the time for it if they're busy learning late? Elo, Amar Abaya. Abaya says no. The meaning of Tayolim in our Mishnah is Kidirav, like the way that Rav described. De Amar Rav, going Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. An example of Tayolim would be Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Now, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was one of the Amiroyim. He was a Malamed. He taught children, and that was his parnosa. He'd collect schalim, or he'd collect tuition from the kids' parents, and that was how he earned a living. He's able to eat and drink from his own. He doesn't have to depend on other people to supplement his income. He sleeps in the shade of his own house, meaning he doesn't have to travel for Parnassah. And the king's messengers never passed by his door, meaning sometimes you would have people who the king would say these are richer, not so much taxes, but the king would draw up lists of the richer citizens, and those people would have to go and sometimes work for the king. But now Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas kept a low profile. He didn't look on the outside very rich. So therefore, they never bothered him for that kind of thing. So that such a person is an example of Tayolim. So Tosfos points out in that case, the word Tayolim is related to the word Tula, which is the Aramaic word for shade. Because every night he sleeps in the shade of his own house. He doesn't have to travel, you know, his own roof. He doesn't have to travel for Parnassa. So therefore, so such a kind of person is the kind that the Mishnah is describing as Tayolim, where he works at home basically, and he doesn't need to travel, and he doesn't need to depend on anything else, on anyone else. With that said, there is a machlokas who showed him within that. Now the fact is, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a Talmid Chacham as well. He's one of the Amiroyim, and we're going to say soon that the owner of a Talmid Chacham is once every week. So is it in fact that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, is it in fact that Rav is saying and Abaye is endorsing that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas would in fact have to have his owner every night because he's Tayolin? Or would we say the fact that he's a Talmid Chacham overrides that? We're just giving him as an example. Had he not been a Talmid Chacham, then he would be an example of Tayolin.
And the fact that he was learning with children, that's...
So that's not considered. The fact is, he learns with them only by day. By night, he's not teaching them.
But he's allowed to have just from that.
Yeah, you can. Preposterous. Yeah, because you're allowed to. You're allowed to collect. There's a Gemara in Nedarim. We'll get to it in a few months. Be'ez Hashem, that says you're allowed to charge for learning Torah Shebichsav, for teaching Torah Shebichsav, just not Torah Shebal Peh. So he could. He's teaching them Torah Shebichsav. The pastors he could get. Besides which, also there's the fact. He's also watching them, and right. Therefore that's also he can get. But with all of that said, though, Shittim Kubretzis brings it a whole different explanation from Tamidir Rabbeinu Yonah. That no, what it was is Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. The vote is according to them, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was independently wealthy. He didn't need to take pay from the kids. He taught them for free. And he had such simcha teaching them, such simcha that he's doing that mitzvah for free, that therefore he can be considered tayolim, therefore he can be considered this easygoing kind of guy whose owner therefore would be every day.
A good man.
Yeah. Okay. He also Rovin Omar, when Rovin came from Eretz Israel, he gave a different definition of tayolim, kagren mafanki demar rova. For example, you have the pampered people who live in the West in Eretz Israel. They eat and drink a lot. So therefore, they're healthy and strong. And therefore, they have the koyach to do tashmish every night. And the Gemara gives an example of some of those strong people in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Bohu have a koy bei boni. Rabbi Bohu one time was standing in the bathhouse, and he had two servants, two slaves, supporting his arms to help hold him up. Ifchis bei boni mitusi. All of a sudden, the floor caved in. The way they had bathhouses were made in those days, you can find remnants of them in many places in Eretz Yisrael, for example, is they had a system. They would have, there was an underfloor, then there were pillars built on top of the floor, then there would be an overfloor above those pillars. The space in between those is where they would put the coal, is where they would put the wood to burn, to heat up the bathhouse. So now if the floor caves in, a person's in tremendous danger, they're going to fall in among the burning coals. In fact, the Gemara in Brachas tells us that when a person would go to the bathhouse, they would actually be required to make a bracha before they go in and after they come out, that before they go in to ask Hashem to save them from the danger there, and after they come out, thanking Hashem for saving them from that potential danger. So now the floor actually caved in. So now they're now Rabbi Bohu is in Rabbi Bohu and his slaves are in danger. Isrami Le'amuda, and Bashgacha Pratis, there was a pillar over there sticking up above the floor. Solik, he climbed up the pillar, Baskinu, and he pulled up the two Avodim with him, showing how strong he was. And similar, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan have a Solik Medagar. Rabbi Yochanan one time was walking up a ladder of stairs. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were supporting him as he's walking up. If Chesedaga Tusei, all of a sudden a stair, one of the stairs or one of the rungs fell out underneath him, so that he was able to continue climbing up, and pull up Rav Ami and Rav Asi with him. So we see how strong the people of Eretz Yisrael were. And so Amri Le Rabbanan, so the other Chachamim asked Rav Yechanan, B'chime Acha Dehochi, if you're so strong, Lomele Lemismechei, why are you having Rav Ami and Rav Asi support you in the first place? You're obviously strong enough to support yourself. Omelahu, so he answers them, Imkein Ma'aniach Leis Zikna, if I depend on my own strength all the time, what am I going to leave over for my old age? like this, if I save my strength when I'm younger, and now I'm strong enough that even I can pull them up when necessary, then I'll still have some residual strength when I get old. But if I don't have them support me, then I'm not going to have anything left. Yeah. So the point is, we see that those are an example. So those are mafanki d'marova. Those are examples of these pampered people in Eretz Yisrael, where they eat and drink generously, and therefore they have the koyach for tashmish every night. Okay. Next, we said in the mission of Apoyolim Shtayim B'Shabbos, we said that workers, their owners twice a week. So the Gemara says, V'altanya Apoyolim Achas B'Shabbos. Don't we have another braisa that says that their owners only once a week? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yosi B'Chanina, like Kasha, Rav Chanina, like Kasha, Kan Ba'osin Malacha B'Iran, Kan Ba'osin Malacha B'Ir Acheres. It depends whether their work is in this town or in a different town. The Gemara says, Tanya Namiyachi. In fact, we don't have a braisa like that. Apoyolim Shtayim B'Shabbos, workers, their owners twice a week. When is that talking about when they're doing work in their city? But if their job is in another city, then their owner is only once a week. Because the pastors, they come home for Shabbos. Okay, we said achamorim achas b'Shabbos. Then we said in the Mishnah, we start getting to the ones whose owner is less frequent. The donkey drivers, we said, is only once a week. And then we had the camel drivers, and we had the sailors. So now the question is, we said in the first part of the Mishnah, again, we had the case where the husband makes a neder that prevents tashmish between himself and his wife. Now, we said Bishilol says, and Halacha, of course, is like Bishilol, that up to 1 week is fine, but more than that, yotzi v'yitim k'suba. So, Omale Rabba Barafon la Abaya, Ichbol Tana Lashmin and Tayo Lepoil, is the Tana telling us a case? Ichba literally means that he repeats. Is he telling us a whole case that applies to just a tile and a poil? In other words, most people, their owner is going to be less often. Even a tamad chacham, we're going to say later in the Gemara, is only once a week. We're saying workers out of town is also once a week. Chamorim, we said, is also only once a week. Gamolim once every gamolim is once a month and so forth. So what is the case that we're talking about where he made a neder against tashmish? Is it meant to apply only to tayolim and people who work in town and everybody else that wouldn't apply? Then why is the Mishnah phrasing it so generically that always once the neder is in effect for a week, then yotzi v'yitin k'suba? Omaleloi. So Abaye answers no. It actually applies to everyone. Akulu, it applies to all of them, even, for example, the sailors. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Rosh Shisha Chadashim Kama. What do you mean? The Mishnah says that they go 6 months between Oina. And he says, because the difference is, Eina Doma, Mishayesh, they pass for salad, Lamisha Ein, they pass for salad. You can't compare someone who has bread in their basket to somebody who doesn't. It's a figure of speech. In other words, it actually says, like when you have a person is fasting, if he knows that he has bread available whenever he's ready to break his fast, then he feels much better. If there's no bread available, then psychologically he feels worse. The same way, this woman, fine, she knows her husband is a sailor, but she knows at the end of the 6 months, he's going to be coming back and he'll do his Oina with her. On the other hand, when he makes this neder, then it's like she like gives up on the situation. So therefore, even though she's anyway going to be waiting several months, nevertheless, it's harder for her. And therefore, after a week, it's an intolerable situation. And therefore, yotzi v'yitin k'suba. And that's the halacha. What would happen? Suppose the guy was a donkey driver, where his owner is once a week, and he decides instead that he wants to become a camel driver, which is going to be only once a month. Is he allowed to do that without his wife's permission? On the one hand, a camel driver earns much more money. On the other hand, it means that she's not going to get her owner as often. So Abaye answers with an expression from a different Gemara. It's actually from a Mishnah in Sota. Roitzer isha b'kav b'tiflus ma'asora kabinu krishus. A woman would rather have a kav, a smaller amount, and tiflus literally means like silliness, in other words, the ability to joke around and have relations with her husband, more than 10 kabin, to be rich or precious and being held back. So therefore, the answer is that yes, she'd still rather have the increased tashmish rather than the increased money. So therefore, you can't do it without the permission. So now Tosfos mentions, we said, what about on Omar Aleph? We said about the workers for the king, where they were working for a month out of town at a time. Tosfos says, and we said that Harvocha, that the point is they're making a lot of money. Tosfos says that's different. They're making a huge amount of money. So that she's willing to forego, that already she's more willing to forego, we can assume she's more willing to forego Tashmish on the basis of that. Here we're talking about a gamel, a camel driver, will make more than a chamer, but not so tremendously much more that should be worthwhile for her.
So also another difference is, you said that it's 1 month in, 2 months home.
Well, that was pointed out Yechon, appointed Rav, it was 1 month in and 1 month home. Fine, maybe, but Tosfos is saying that just the fact that there was a huge amount of money involved, and that's different.
Because the difference of your husband's a camel driver and looks the king.
Well, it may also be, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, brings a different girsa, not Asora Kabin, but Tisha Kabin. And Tosfos actually makes a calculation based on later on in the parak, we're going to talk about a case where the husband and the wife are not living together for whatever reason. They're not, they're still getting together once a week and doing Tashmish, but other than that, they're living in separate houses. And you have rules over there, how much food he has to provide her. And then you have, it goes, and then also in our parak, we're going to talk about where he goes on strike and refuses to have Tashmish with her, where we keep on increasing Huxuba. So Tosfos makes a calculation on the basis of that. That ultimately, if he's away from her for 6 months, like we're saying over here, like a 1 month, like a camel driver would be, then she winds up getting so much extra. She winds up getting so much extra for Huxuba that she could buy conceivably 9 calves of food with it. And yet we're saying she would still prefer to have the 1 calf and be together with her husband. We said in the Mishnah, Saponim Achas Lashisha Chadashim Divir Rebbe Eliezer. So we finished off, we said sailors, their owner is once every 6 months. And we said Divir Rebbe Eliezer. The Divir Rebbe Eliezer is actually referring specifically to the part where he said that Talmud Chachamim can go, that Talmudim can go out of town for 30 days without permission from their wives. Right. So the Gemara says, Amar Rab Bruna, Amar Rab, Halacha Kerebbe Eliezer. So now Halacha is like it. But Omer of Adaba Abba Omer Rab, Zudivir Rabbi Eliezer. The fact is that is only the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Abba Chachamim Omer, but the Chachamim disagree and say, Hatamidim Yotzim, the Tamaturda, Bez Gimel Shonim, Shaloi Birushus. Tamid Chachamim can tell, Tamidim really can even go out to learn Torah out of town for even 2 or 3 years without permission from their wives. So we said at the top of Omer Aleph, we said that it's Derech Eretz to only go away for 1 month, but now we're saying the Chachamim say they could even go away, they could even, without even asking permission, they could go away for 2 or 3 years. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, Somchu Rabbanan, the Chachamim do rely, the Rabbanan, the Talmidei HaYeshiva of our times, do rely on Rav Adab Abba, but Avdi Uvda, and they do that in practice, but they should know, B'nafshayhu, they should know that it's a danger to their lives. As we have the example, Ki Hodir Rav Rechumi have a Shchiach Kameh de Rabba, we have the example where Rav Rechumi used to regularly come and learn Torah in front of Rabba, B'mechoza, in the city of Mechoza, which is where Rava was the Rosh Hashiva. Have a ruggle to have a osila basic on Mala Yom Kippur. And this Rebbe Chumi used to regularly come home every year Erev Yom Kippur. So he would stay away for an entire year and he would come home Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Echad Meshach Deshmaita, one time Erev Yom Kippur, he was fatifed in his learning. He was deeply into his learning, so he forgot the time. Having a sachya dvesu, and now his poor wife, where they're living, is looking out. Hashta osi. He's going to be coming soon. Loyosan, he didn't come, and Yom Kippur is already starting. Cholosh daita, she felt bad. Achis dimosa meena, a tear fell from her eye, and Ruchumi was held to account in Shemayim for causing his wife that tear. Have a yosib beigra. At that moment, Rav Ruchumi was sitting on a roof. If his igra mitu, say all of a sudden the roof collapsed underneath him, the noch nafshe, and he passed away. So we see
it's worse,
in other words, it's true. And there is actually a vote from one of the Balei Amusar, of Chaim Shmulevitz, that says, you see from that, we're not talking about, obviously she wouldn't have wanted this to happen to her husband, but just the fact that he caused her that sar, that alone had an effect in Shemayim, even though neither he nor she would have wanted that to happen. So
she was just
big. So. She was obviously, right. So therefore, Rava is saying, so the fact is, Talmidim go out of town without their wives' permission, but they should realize, like Rav Ruchumi over here, that they're putting their lives in danger if they don't actually make sure to come home exactly when they're supposed to, or if they cause their wife to cry because of it. Pashtus over here, he had permission from his wife, but still he didn't have permission to stay away that extra time that he was fartifed and learning. And then, so Rabba is generalizing from that, therefore, that the same idea, if he leaves town without his wife's permission, so that to begin with, she cries, then that can put his life in danger. Okay, so the Gemara says, Oina Shatamana Chachamim Emas, what is the expected frequency for the owner of a Taman Chacham? Omer of Yehuda Mashmur, Me Erev Shabbos La Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, meaning the Shabbos night, Friday night, it's a night of Tainug, it's a night of resting, and I know I said, so therefore it's an appropriate time for it. Which, by the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out an interesting thing. So why in our Mishnah did it not mention that? It listed all the other onus. Why did it leave out the one of a time of fall? And he says, because all the ones in our Mishnah are based on the guy's job. Here it's not so much the, here it's not so much his job. Here it's more like this, his owner would be every night, except that he's busy learning Torah. So therefore, therefore he can do it only once a week. But it has nothing to do with the how hard his job is. Like we were saying before about Yaakov with the animals that he sent to Esav, where there it depends how hard the animal works. Here it's a different kind of thing. Therefore, the Mishnah left it out.
Even though he was home, but he was learning. So.
Right. So the Gemara says, "Asher piria yitin b'itar." Here's a pasuk that refers to this. The pasuk praises at the beginning of Tehillim a person that he gives his fruit in its right time. So Amar of Yehudavi, Tamer of Yehudavi, Tamer of Nachman, said of Yehuda, or some said of Huna, or some said of Nachman, said Zam Shamash Mitosila Erev Shabbos LaErev Shabbos. This refers to when he has relations every Friday night. So why is that b'itar again? Because the appropriate time for Tamid Chacham, because we're saying it's a night of rest. And Marshall also points out, when you think about it, you're not allowed to learn by candlelight, because where the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, we're afraid that you might adjust the wick. So therefore, Friday night, the Tamid Chacham anyway, is learning less. Therefore, that's a very appropriate time for him to be with his wife the rest of the night. So he should be staying up late learning Torah, like we said before. But Friday nights, he's more available because he anyway can't learn Torah as much.
What's the Kabbalistic reason for Friday night being the best time to have
a time? Well, we have the practical reason over here, because we're saying Shabbos is a time of time, it's a time of a pleasure. I mean, there is also, right, I'll pick up Kabbalah. There's also the fact that we have that then that's when, so to speak, you have Zohar and Malchus connect together, like we say in Kigavna, so then, and then Zohar is the Zohar, and then Malchus is Nekeva, so therefore, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara gives an example. Another example of one of the Chachamim who was late coming home and the consequences, Yehuda, the son of Rabchiah actually had twin boys named Yehuda and Chizkiah. So this Yehuda was one of them. So he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai. Ozo v'yosef v'veirav, he used to sit in the Beis Medrash learning Torah. V'chol beis shimshi haba osi l'beisi. Every beis shimshi he would come home. Now, Bein Shimshi basically means Bein Ashmoshes. Rashi, later on in the Masechta, explains that the word Bein Shimshi, even though in principle it means Bein Ashmoshes, usually it means Bein Ashmoshes of Friday night. Because Bein Ashmoshes of other days, big deal. There's no real difference. Bein Ashmoshes, let's say Wednesday going into Thursday. Is it Wednesday or is it Thursday? It doesn't really matter for most purposes. But Friday night, it makes a big difference. Is it weekday or is it Shabbos? Therefore, the word Bein Shimshi came to be used specifically for Friday night. So every Friday night, this Yehuda would come home. And the Kiyava Osi, when he would come, have a Kachazi Kameh Amuda de Nura. They would see, and Rabbi Yanai particularly, his Shver, would see in front of him a pillar of fire preceding the way for him, like the way the Jewish people had in the Midbar. One time, again, he was fartifed in his learning. He was busy in his learning. And so he didn't come home in time. So when Rabbi Yanai did not see his son-in-law, when he didn't see the expected simon of the pillar of fire coming, so Rabbi Yanai says to the family, turn over his bed. In other words, start following the dinim of Avelis. If Yehuda was still alive, he would not have been mevatel his owner. He knows how important it is, so it must be that he passed away. Which Maharam Shif says, why couldn't it be that he was sick, for example? Why is Rabbi Yanai jumping to conclusions that he's dead? And he's saying, because Yehuda, being a chosid, he would even take care to try and fulfill his own, even if he's sick. We find by David HaMelech, for example, where he was sick for some time after the story with Bathsheba, and still the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that he took care to fulfill his own. So therefore, Rabbi Yanai says, the only possible reason why Yehuda would not be here is if he's dead. Well, havoy kishgoga sheyotzam lifnei shalit. This was like the expression in the pasuk, like when a ruler says something by mistake. Even though he said it by mistake, still they go and fulfill, his servants still go and fulfill what he says. The same way to Yanai being a Tamid Chacham, what he said came true, but noch nafshe, and sure enough, Yehuda passed away. Again, the idea being, we see how powerful words are, that even though Rabbi Yanai certainly didn't mean to kill Yehuda with his words, but nevertheless, words have a powerful effect.
You have to watch what you say,
basically. Yeah. Speaking of people passing away and in connection with weddings, the Gemara says, Rebbe Iasek Lelebrei BeRabchia. Rebbe arranged for a shidduch with his son with the daughter of Rabchia. Kimotel Michtav Ksuba. When it came time to write the Ksuba, Noch Nafshe the Ravisa, the girl passed away. Omar Rebbe chas v'shalom psula ika. So Rebbe said, "What's the matter over here? Why'd she die? Is there maybe a psul in one or the other of the families, and therefore Hashem didn't want the two families to join together?" Yisivu v'aydu v'mishpachas. So they sat down and looked into the yichus of the respective families, and they discovered Rebbe also mishvatya ben Avital. They discovered that Rebbe's family descends from Shvatya ben Avital, which is one of the sons of David. But Rabbi Chiya also is Shimi Achi David, whereas Rabbi Chiya descends from Shimi, a brother of David. So therefore, in other words, Rashi says, so it's not really a psul, but the fact is, it wasn't fitting that a daughter of Rebbe, who descends from royalty, who descends from David HaMelech, should marry, so to speak, a commoner, somebody who's descended only from a brother of David rather than a son. So therefore, Hashem caused the Shidduch not to happen. And a couple of other Mefoshim disagree with that. Marashah talks about, there's others that, and say, no, I mean, that's not going to be the reason. So they say, Fakir. What the Gemara is saying is, when they checked into it, they didn't find any psul. There was nothing wrong. It would have been perfectly fitting for them to get married. But she passed away for some unrelated reason. But the fact is, Rebbe was concerned. There was a psul. They found, in fact, there's not a psul. Both of them come from very yichustika families.
They were allowed to get married.
Yeah, certainly they weren't allowed to, no question. But even there wouldn't have been any objection to it. And obviously it was something else. So the Gemara says, Ozo yesek lelebre beirab yosi ben zimra. So instead, Rebbe arranged a shidduch with that. This is Marashah says this, Maharal says this. That's all it was. Yeah. So also the Yasek Lelebre Beirab Yosi Ben Zimra. So instead, Rebbe arranged a shidduch for his son with the daughter of Rebbe Yosi Ben Zimra. Poskele Tauti Srei Shnin Lemezal Beirab. They arranged that he's going to go for 12 years before the marriage to learn in yeshiva. Similar to what we're going to have with Rabbi Akiva, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Why 12 years? Marsha points out an interesting idea. Ben Shmona Esther L'Chopa, Ben Shloshim L'Kayach. When a man is 30, he has his full strength. So therefore, those 12 years are the time when he should be spending on learning Torah. After that, he'll reach Ben Shloshim L'Kayach. Then he can go out and start earning a living with the Koyach that he's developed. So that's why 12 years. Different other Mephoshim give it a different. There's a different other interesting explanation. I can't remember now from who that says an interesting point. There are about 613 weeks in 12 years. 12 years is like 620 weeks or so. So therefore, so if he's learning for 12 years, every week he can be focusing on one of the mitzvahs, and by the end of 12 years, he's learned the details of all of them. So 12 years. But then they had the Kala walk in front of him, and she was so beautiful that so now the Chosin is saying, I can't bear to be away from her 12 years. Let's do only 6 years. And then they brought her in front of him again. He says, you know what? I can't even bear. Let me first marry her and have relations with her, and then I'll go away to the Beis Medrash. So now he's embarrassed of his father that he should give up learning Torah because he's in love with this girl. But Rebbe told him, don't worry, you have the same kind of mentality as we find by Hashem. Because what do we have? By the Shira Sayyam, first it says, you will bring them and you will plant them in Eretz Yisrael. And then we mentioned, meaning the original plan was first the Jewish people are going to come into Eretz Yisrael and then build the Mishkan. Which, so to speak, in other words, during the time in the desert after Matan Torah would be like the time of Erusin. So the idea would have been that first they're going to have the Erusin of the time in the Midbar, and only the Nisuin is going to take place only when they come into Eretz Yisrael. That was like your situation originally, where you were going to have the Nisuin only later. What happens afterwards? Hashem says, even while they're in the desert, let them make me a mishkan, and I'll dwell among them. And I was like, Hashem, so to speak, couldn't bear to wait until the marriage is consummated, so therefore you're acting the same way. Okay, so sure enough, so sure enough, the son of Rebbe went and spent 12 years in the Beis Medrash. Add also, but by the time he came back, he akra devesu. His wife had become an akara. The Gemara explains elsewhere, I think we had it in Yevamos, that when a woman has gone after she's had relations the first time, if she goes 10 years without having relations, then she'll become infertile. So therefore, now it was 10 years, it was already 12 years. So Omer Rebbe Heichin Nebet. So Rebbe says, now what should we do? Nigarsha, should he divorce her? He can't. People are going to say, this poor lady, she waited for nothing. She waited for her husband 12 years, and it's all for nothing because he divorced her. Ninsiv Itzachriti, should we tell him that he should marry a second wife and he'll have children with her? Can't. People are going to think, the one is his main wife, and the other one is only his zayin. So the only choice is Boyalo Rachmi. So he davened for Rachmanas for her to see us, and she was cured and she was fertile after all. Marshall, by the way, points out that this business about the 10 years is only if she didn't have, only if she wasn't looking forward to having a husband during that time. If she was, then that 10-year thing doesn't apply. We find that, for example, by Nomi, where she says to Rus and Orpah that it's been 10 years since my husband passed away, even if tonight is the last night where if I were to get married, I could potentially have children. But so over here, she's waiting for her husband all the years. But Acharonim explained that still, even though, yes, she's waiting for her husband, but since she knows he's not going to be coming home before 12 years, so therefore it's like she was Masiach Das, and therefore would have that effect on her. So therefore, they wound up having to daven that she should be cured and be able to be fertile after all. Okay, and we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with other such stories of Chachamim who went away for many years to learn Torah. Shabbat, everyone.
Morning, 12.